that when we went to India, we didn't do a lot of ministry a lot of places. We were just basically with Jyoti and Rosalind. And we did have some services, did some teaching to people. But the majority of the time, we just spent with them in their house face-to-face. And I just thought how amazing, you know, we could have Skyped with them. You know, but God, for whatever reason, wanted us to go. And that's, you know, a big trip to go there. But I just, it was just amazing ministry face-to-face, just sharing and imparting and asking questions and encouraging each other. And it just shows you how good God is. I mean, he'll send you other side of the world to meet with a couple face-to-face. And that should be encouraging to you where you're at, what God, the lengths God will go to get his love and encouragement and goodness to you. He's good. Amen? Praise God. Well, I'm sure a lot of things happened here while we were gone, and look forward to hear the testimonies of what God is doing in our midst. And because we were just believing for fruitfulness wherever we are, fruitfulness from God. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 3. Anybody ever read John 3:16? That's worth looking at again today. John 3:16. When you're on 13 flights, you got a lot of time to think about things. We were in Thailand and we sang that Goodness of God song. I'm telling you, I was just in tears. And, you know, I may have been tired from all the travel and everything, but, I mean, you ever been there where you could just, if you let yourself go, you're just going to be like on the floor sobbing? I mean, it was just overwhelmed by God's goodness and how good he is. He is so good. We don't get what we deserve. Aren't you glad today? But John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. These verses show us the heart of God the Father. He loves the world. He loves people that have made mistakes. Anybody here ever made a mistake? He loves people who make mistakes. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He wants them to have everlasting life with him. And that's why he worked this amazing plan with Jesus, which we call the gospel and the good news. He did this out of his great love for us, for people that didn't deserve it. But the part of these verses that really struck me as I was been meditating on John 3 was he didn't send Jesus to condemn the world. And condemnation is a huge problem, obviously, in the world. I'm sure these shooters, they felt so horrible about themselves and the world, they thought that was the best decision, is to go kill a bunch of people. I mean, that's the enemy. And he plants seeds and he waters those seeds until he can get you to act on his lies. But condemnation is not only a huge problem in the world, it's a huge problem in the body of Christ. There's people sitting here today that deal, that are struggle with condemnation. And condemnation means to judge someone and to sentence them for punishment. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen a house being condemned. What is it saying about that house? It's no longer good. It's no longer inhabitable. It can't be used for anybody. So we're going to condemn this thing. We're going to, you know, wipe it out like it never existed. It's of no use. It's worthless. It's no benefit. And what condemnation does, it robs you of your identity, because we should have the identity of sons and daughters of God. Not servants, but sons and daughters of God. It robs you of intimacy with God. It causes you to draw back from him because you're of a fear of punishment. And then it keeps you, when that happens, it keeps you from fulfilling your God-given purpose and destiny. God's got an amazing destiny for you. You're not created to live a normal life just to get by and to exist and to be comfortable. You're created by God to do something amazing, each one of us. It doesn't mean you'll be Billy Graham and preach to hundreds of millions of people. But each one of us, God's got a specific destiny. And it's something great. And it's something just as important as Billy Graham or Oral Roberts or anybody else. But condemnation keeps us from that. And of course, condemnation is from the enemy. It comes from current or past sins. It comes from mistakes. It comes from lies the enemy tells us. And he's constantly trying to get in our minds and tell us lies to like, no, that's not who you are. No, you're worthless. You're no good. You'll never amount to anything. You know those things that you hear in your mind? That's not from God. And it's rough, though, when other people condemn you as well. That's... And condemnation may cause you to give up, or condemnation may cause you to say, hey, what does it really matter? What does it matter what I do? No, you know, what does it matter what I say? What does it matter what I do? I'll just go ahead and sin. I'll just go ahead and do that. It doesn't matter. I'm worthless. I'm nothing. I'm never going to amount to anything. Have you ever had past mistakes flash before your eyes? I've had things from years ago. I don't know, something just triggers it. Things from years ago. I mean, I've done some stupid things. Can I get a witness, Sean Lewis? Sean and I have talked about things. I mean, I've committed some whoppers. And, you know, but I've been saved since 19 and walking with Jesus all these years. And it's been just, you know who I am in Christ. But every once in a while, something will happen. It'll trigger something. And I'll have the flashback of that incident. And if I let myself focus on it, those same feelings that I had years ago will come back. And that's what the enemy wants. And then he wants to feed that, and you accept that, and he wants to feed it and until it leads to more bad things. That's condemnation. That's from the enemy. And that's exactly what he wants us to do, to rehearse sin, rehearse mistakes, rehearse things that people have said to us. And it makes us feel ashamed. It makes us feel unworthy, of no value, of no use for the kingdom. And it's going to hinder you from moving forward in the plan of God for your life. You lose your edge. You lose your confidence. Now let's look over in John 8 and let's see the heart of the Father. This story of Jesus, it's got to encourage you today. John 8, verse 1. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning he came again to the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. In the very act. You ever been caught doing something you're not supposed to be doing? In the act. The question I have is, where's the man? That's for another sermon. A woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in her midst, and they said to her, and they're just following the law. This is what the law says to do in this situation. Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that we should... that she should be stoned, such should be stoned. But what do you say? This they said, testing him, that they may have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger. He might have been writing, honor your father and mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You know, I don't know. I don't know what he was writing. But he could have been writing down the Ten Commandments. You shall not steal. Shall not bear false witness. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said, This is great. Man, I want to have a line like this in a situation that he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. What are you going to do with that? And again, he stooped down and began to write in the ground. And I love this. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest. Why is that? Because they've committed a lot more sins because they're older. Even to the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. The woman caught in the act of adultery. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" What was the punishment? Death. I mean, how brutal was that? Stoning someone like that. That's what the punishment was. That's what she, according to the law, deserved. She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." And I'm telling you, his words brought freedom to that woman. Not death, not pain, but it freed her. It freed her to live a life for God. And I'm telling you, if you've received God's forgiveness and God's grace, especially for some of us that have done a lot of stupid things, if you receive it, I mean, you should be showing that kind of grace to others, showing that kind of forgiveness and love to others. Oh, man, this is a good sermon right here, getting over here. Because sometimes, you know, all that we've been given, and what do we do with others? We blast them. We condemn them. We criticize them. We want them to get punished. That's another sermon. Little mini sermon there. But Jesus came to show us the Father, what the Father was like. And in that situation, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Romans 8, verse 1. And these are some verses that would be good to memorize and to have in your heart and to have in your arsenal of scriptures, because you're going to need them because of the world that we live in and the people that we live with. There is therefore now no condemnation. No condemnation. No condemnation. No condemnation. No condemnation to those who are in Christ. Do I have anybody in the house that's in Christ? Anybody here that's been washed in the blood? Anybody here that's been forgiven? There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Woo! Been waiting to say that for 3 weeks. Woo! Doesn't go over well in some other countries. Who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. We should be free people. We should be people full of joy. We should not be bound by the things that the world is dealing with. We should be free from condemnation. And I'm not going to say it's not going to come. I remember back in high school, I did something stupid, really stupid. I won't even tell you because it's really embarrassing to even share it. And I got caught, and it had to do with my high school, and some of the people, the leaders there, found out about it. And there was a particular priest there who found out about it. Every time I saw him, I'm talking about for years, brought this up, what I did, and reminded me every time what happened. And he was just kind of like, because he didn't really like me. This is a priest, a leader, wanting to stick it to me. Seriously, I saw him maybe 10 times in two, three years, every time he brought it up. But then during that period, I got saved, and it was just kind of like every time he brought it up, I said, I didn't say it to him, but I'm free from that. There is no, you can say all you want, you can make fun of me, say all you want, but I'm free. That's the old man. That's not me. And I'm not accepting your stuff. And that's the way you got to be. You got to recognize it. And don't let that get in you. That's what the enemy wants. Did you know today that we're free from sin? Did you know that? Now I'm going to read kind of a long passage here, and you need to go and look in Romans. Romans is amazing, but spend some time in Romans. And if you don't get excited about what I'm about to read, then I don't even know if you're breathing. This is good stuff. This is who we are. This is who we are in Christ. This is the way we're to live our lives. Because some of you have been listening to the voices, listening to the lies, and don't listen to those lies anymore. Now, I'm not saying that you make a mistake, and we're going to make mistakes. You're going to sin again, just so you know. Just don't do it today, okay? Don't do it here. But we're going to make some mistakes, and so I'm not saying we're not going to apologize or maybe have to make up, especially dealing with other people, make up for what we did wrong. But you don't have to live in the bondage of the mistakes of the past. You can live free from that. Now listen to this. Romans 6 verse 1. Message. So what do we do? Keep on sinning so God can keep on forgiving? I should hope not. If we left the country where sin is sovereign, how can we still live in our old house there? Or didn't you realize we packed up and left there for good? That is what happened in baptism. When we went under the water, we left the old country of sin behind. And when we came out of the water, we entered into the new country of grace. That's good. A new life in a new land. That's what you've got today. A new life in a new land. You don't got to live in the old country. That's what baptism into the life of Jesus means. When we are lowered into the water, it is like the burial of Jesus. When we are raised up out of the water, it's like the resurrection of Jesus. Each of us is raised into a light-filled world by our Father so that we can see where we're going in our new grace sovereign country. It's just to live in his goodness, to live in his grace. Could it be any clearer? Our old way of life was nailed to the cross with Christ, a decisive end to that sin, miserable life. No longer at sin's every beck and call. What we believe is this. If we get included in Christ's sin-conquering death, his sin-conquering death, he died to conquer sin, to defeat sin forever. We also get included in his life-saving resurrection. We know that when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was a signal of the end of death as the end. Never again will death have the last word. When Jesus died, he took sin down with him. But alive, he brings God down to us. Y'all hearing this? I'm not making this up. This is Bible. We need to be thinking about these things because this is so contrary to the world. We don't live in a grace-filled world, a love-filled world. It's dog eat dog, eye for an eye, punishment. We want them punished. We want them dead. We want them hurt. We want them to hurt more than us. From now on, think of it this way. Sin speaks a dead language that means nothing to you. God speaks your mother tongue. And you hang on every word. You got to put the word in there. Wash out that condemnation. Wash it out. Don't let it back in. You are dead to sin and alive to God. Everybody say that. I am dead to sin. And I'm alive to God. Oh, that's some good news coming today. This is good news. You don't have to live in condemnation. You don't have to live in your past. You can be free from your past. Every time the enemy brings up that image or other people bring it up, I mean, you just laugh. Devil, you're defeated. I'm not receiving those lies. That's not who I am. I'm in Christ. I'm a new creation. I'm his son. I'm his daughter. That's who I am. And I belong in the house. And I belong at the table. And I belong having God's best. And God can use me. See, condemn people, they condemn others. Condemned people are easily offended. They're hearing those voices. Even in church, even here today, listening to those lies. But we got to expose it. He's a liar. He's trying to take you down. He's trying to take your family. Don't let him in the house. You are dead to sin and alive to God. That's what Jesus did. That means you must not give sin a vote in the way you conduct your lives. Amen. Don't give it the time of day. Don't even run little errands that are connected with the old way of life. Throw yourselves wholeheartedly and full time. Remember, you've been raised from the dead. Woo! You've been raised from... Corey, look at this training here. I'm not even breathing hard. You've been raised from the dead. You've been raised from the dead. You don't got to live that old way anymore. Old sin-bound life. Okay, I'm breathing just a little bit higher. Heart rate's a little higher. Sin can't tell you how to live. After all, you're not living under that old tyranny any longer. You're living in the freedom of God. And I won't read the rest. I can read the rest of the chapter. It's talking about living free. Yes. Living in freedom. Don't need to be bound by current or past sins. Anybody here ever missed it? Who's done some really stupid hands? Stupid things. Put your hands up. Stupid hands too. I mean, whatever. Stupid head, stupid hands, stupid feet. I relate, sister. Some of you are looking so innocent. We don't need to be bound by current or past sins. Jesus has set us free from that old way of living. But there's a renewing of the mind that's got to take place. That's why we need each other. That's why we need the Word. The washing of the water of the Word. Yes. Your spirit's alive, but your mind's got to catch up. It's got to be renewed. Stop believing the lies and start believing what the Bible says. That's why the enemy fights you being in the Word. Putting the Word in your heart. And again, I'm not like giving you a license to sin, but you're going to make some mistakes. A couple, right? Maybe not. Maybe not.
We're free from sin.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
How many bags did I carry for you on this trip? And this is what you give me? But you're right. But if someone does make a mistake, that's not who you are, is what I was trying to say. Thank you very much. Now look at this. God, not only are you free from sin, but God will empower you to live a holy, godly life. Look at Philippians 2, verse 12. Therefore, my dear ones, have you always obeyed my suggestions? So now, not only with the enthusiasm you would show in my presence, but much more because I am absent, work out, cultivate, carry out to the goal, and fully complete your own salvation with reverence and awe and trembling, self-distrust, and with serious caution, tenderness of conscience, watchfulness against temptation, timidly shrinking from whatever might offend God. Wasn't that an amazing attitude? Timidly shrinking from whatever might offend God and discredit the name of Christ. Now look at verse 13. Not in your own strength, It's not just willpower. Not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectively at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. Man, we've got to be feeding on that. He's empowering us to live right. He's empowering us to overcome temptation. He's empowering us to be obedient. And we got to know that, and we got to expect that. So we have to know we're free from sin, according to Romans, but then also we're empowered to walk that out by the Holy Spirit. Now, let's close with this verses, Romans 4. We have our title, Made Fit for the Kingdom. Romans 4, verse 19. Abraham, this is from the Message. Abraham didn't focus on his own impotence and say, it's hopeless. This 100-year-old body could never father a child. Nor did he survey Sarah's decades of infertility and give up. He didn't tiptoe around God's promise, asking cautiously skeptical questions. He plunged into the promise and came up strong. Plunge into that promise. And he came up strong, ready for God, sure that God would make good on what he said. God will make good on what he said. He is faithful who promised. He's not a man that would lie. So don't you give up. Don't you quit. Stay in the word. Keep speaking his promises. Believe those promises. It's going to come to pass. It's going to come to pass what the Holy Spirit has said, what the Word has said. It's going to come to pass, every part of it. Then we always tack on Ephesians 3:20, super abundantly more than we could ask or think or hope or dream or pray. I want to live in Ephesians 3:20. And when you live in Ephesians 3:20, you start thinking bigger. You start praying bigger. You start believing bigger. You start believing for 40 million people to be saved. You start believing for 800,000 people in this area to be saved. Asking God to do it because he wants to do it. But he can't do anything on this earth until he has a person that will cooperate with him and speak words of faith. Speak his word. And then give action to it. Do your part. Sure that God would make good on what he had said. And that's why it is said Abraham was declared fit. I like that. Abraham was declared fit before God by trusting God to set him right. But it's not just Abraham. It's also us. That same thing gets said about us when we embrace and believe. Embrace and believe the one who brought Jesus to life when the conditions were equally hopeless. If you're in a hopeless situation today, I'm telling you, God's about to show up. God will show up for you. He'll come through for you as long as you don't give up, as long as you keep on believing. The sacrifice Jesus made us fit for God. Set us right with God. By entering through faith into what, chapter 5, verse 1, by entering through faith into what God has always wanted to do for us, set us right with him, make us fit for him. We have it all together with God because of our Master Jesus. And so, you know, and I know we've all dealt with condemnation. We've all dealt with the lies of the enemy. But I'm going to tell you, not only are we free from sin, and not only are we empowered to live right and holy, God has made us fit for his service, fit for ministry. You are fit for ministry. Now, I may not look it, but on our trip, 13 flights, very active ministry trip. I want to tell you, I'm coming back today. I'm strong in him. And I decided, or Susie decided 3 years ago, because I wasn't going to go to the trainer, but it was over 3 years ago, had Corey Tiller come to the house. Remember that, Corey? Remember us pushing cars? Corey, man. We needed that, just that brutal reality, Corey Tiller. But, and so 3 years of training is exactly what we wanted to happen to be able to do that kind of trip and come back and still be function. So to be fit. Because when I came back from one of the trips, I wasn't fit and I was exhausted. I was not in a good place. But to be fit. Now, being fit for the kingdom is not necessarily a bunch of work. Being fit for the kingdom is believing. Believing what he says is true. It's being strong in faith. Being strong in him. And I want to tell you this. Even at our worst, still greater is he that's in us than he's in the world. Even at our worst point, we can still witness. We can still pray for people. Despite the lies of the enemy that you're not fit, you've been made fit by him. And turn to your neighbor and just say to him, you are so fit. Man, you are fit. You're fit for kingdom business. Fit. Fit. Fit over there. I'm fit. I'm spiritually fit. We're fit to do great things for the kingdom. We're fit to change this city for Jesus. We're fit to change our families and our neighborhoods and our schools and government and all of that. We're fit in him. We got to believe it. We're raising up fit kids. Man, and I really saw this at the places that we went. You get five Good News Church people that we've been together for a long time, and we could just take them and put them in that church for just a little while. Man, they could use you. Five of the least here. What you've been trained to do and what you know, you don't realize. We're made to feel insignificant, and we don't know anything, but you do. You've got so much in you.
Yes.
The enemy has lied to us.
Hallelujah.
We've been made fit by him.
Yes.
And we can't look at our abilities and our giftings. We've got to look at God.
Yes.
And we need people of faith to rise up and be who they are, sons and daughters of the creator of the universe.
Hallelujah.
And take authority over the devil and tell him to get. And there's going to be things that will happen, try to take us down. But greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We are more than conquerors. We have the victory through Jesus Christ. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, who infuses us with inner strength. He infuses us. Jesus is in us. Jana, don't let anybody condemn you. Don't let anybody bring you down. You don't have to refute it, but you just know on the inside you're God's child.
Yes. Yes.
And he's got amazing things for you to do.
Hallelujah. Praise Lord. Glory.
Yes.
Glory.
Don't listen to their lies. Praise God. I think that's it. Stand. Let's just worship him for a minute. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Nate and Kristen, not in yourselves. I mean, you guys are gifted people, but it's in the power of the Spirit.
Yes.
It's through grace. It's through his love. You're going to change the Columbia area.
Yes. Thank you.
Tap into that and walk in that. Don't look at what's in just what you have. Look about what you can sow, what you can do. He's going to do amazing things in and through you. You keep on going day by day, day by day. Believe in him. Believe him for big things.
Yes.
You won't go backwards. You won't go backwards. You're going forward. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Praise you. Father, I pray for people here that are dealing with condemnation today. May their eyes just be opened up. We'll have to live in that. Lord, if there's houses that are, you know, condemnations in families, Lord, just take authority over that. We're not going to have that. We're not going to have that in our homes. We're going to be for each other. We're going to be grace-filled homes. Now, there was punishment for my kids, Grayson and Maddie Sue, that are here, can tell you, other kids. But I'm telling you, there's times the Lord said to me to grace them. Said to me to not punish them like I would normally do, but to grace them. But then, even when I did punish them, I mean, it was in love. We talked about it. I cried more than they did. Never out of anger. Never to make them pay, but to help them grow as believers. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.